socialism and globalism abound. And yet even with all of the additional television stations and satellite TV and all of the different internet sites and all of the different venues from which information flows, the fact of the matter is man does not really know what's going to happen from one day to another. Man doesn't seem to predict very well. But I share with you this morning a simple truth, and yet a profound truth. And that is that the Lord Jesus Christ is all-knowing. And the significance of that statement is that as we study the attributes of Jesus Christ, we begin to realize that He was not just another man, but that He was in fact God in the flesh. He was in fact the one who was eternal and the one who could call the dead forth from the grave. And we will see this morning He was one who knew the thoughts and intents of a man's heart. Only God has this knowledge. This morning we come to a time in the ministry of Christ where His ministry has just begun. He had been baptized by John the Baptist. He had now begun a teaching and preaching. And the Bible says that Jesus called out a man by the name of Philip. I love what Jesus said to him in verse 43. Just two simple words. He said to Philip, "Follow me." In following Christ, it was more than just on a journey down a dirt trail. But to follow Christ meant that you believed He was who He said He was, and that you were turning from other avenues of trust and belief and putting your faith in Him. And He said, "Philip, I want you to follow me, to be one of my followers." Well, that's exactly what Philip did. And we thank God that since this first man began following Christ, that millions and millions of people have said, "I choose the Lord Jesus Christ." And they have become followers of Jesus Christ. And you know, one of the characteristics about someone that is truly a follower of Jesus Christ, they want other people to follow Jesus Christ too. You know, when you fall in love with someone, or when you really believe in a particular product, you say, "I want to tell you about something that I've found because it means a lot to me." And you notice what happens in this passage. The Bible says in verse number 45, "Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write." You know, Philip went to his friend Nathanael and he said, "Nathanael, you've got to come and see this man, Jesus Christ. He is the God-man. He is the Messiah. You've got to come, Nathanael, and see him." I want to tell you something, friend. If someone has invited you to Lancaster Baptist Church, knowing that this church is a place where the Bible is open and Christ is preached, they have invited you here because Jesus means the world to them, and they want you to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's one thing when someone wants you to be on their softball team because you're a home run slugger. And it's another thing when they want you to be on their basketball team because you're a three-point shooter. But it's a blessing when someone wants you to know Christ just because they really care about you. And you see, that's exactly how Philip felt about Nathanael. He said, "I want you to come and see the Lord Jesus Christ." Well, the name Nathanael means gift of God. And indeed, Nathanael became a follower of Christ. He became an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to study with me this morning as we consider Nathanael's life, how a man who had other things going on in his life, who had particular opinions and perceptions, how this man turned to Jesus Christ and became a follower, a Christian, a Christ-like one. Notice, if you would, this morning as we study Nathanael, Nathanael's outlook. I want you to see a little bit about this particular man. As we study the story, the Bible says that Philip found Nathanael in verse 45 and said, "We have found him." But verse 46, "Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see." Now Philip told Nathanael that they had found the Messiah. And Philip was very clear when he mentioned this, to mention it scripturally. He says in verse number 45, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write." Now please take note, if you want to be a good witness or soul winner, that it's very important that when you talk to people about Jesus, that you're not just giving your opinion, but you're telling them what the Bible says. And Philip was a great soul winner because he said, "We have found the man of whom Moses spoke and of whom the prophets wrote. We have found the Messiah. This one is different than the other teachers here in Palestine. This one is different than those self-claimed prophets. This is the one that the prophets of old wrote about." Now, Nathanael is cautious regarding the scriptures. Nathanael is not readily receiving the word that Philip was giving to him. And I want you to understand something today, that as we consider truths about God, the most important question you can ever ask is, what does the Bible say? For the Bible is the infallible, inerrant word of God. Martin Luther was not a Baptist. He wasn't really even real friendly towards Baptists. But I do appreciate those who began to stand up against the Church of Rome. And they began to take their stand concerning the veracity and the infallibility of the Scriptures. And from their stand, the Reformation fires began to flame, and religious freedom abounded thereafter in many places. Martin Luther, as he began to come to faith and understanding, began to see the necessity of the Scriptures only. And he said, I have covenanted with my Lord that he should not send me visions or dreams or even angels. I am content with this gift of the Scriptures, which teaches and supplies all that is necessary, both for this life and that which is to come. In other words, my friend, when you come to a place in your life when you can put your confidence in the Word of God, not visions, dreams, angels, or what someone else says, but your confidence in the Word of God, then you are now at the place where you can begin a life of faith in Jesus Christ. And Philip said, this is the man the Scriptures told us about. But Nathanael wasn't readily moved. Jesus himself often mentioned what the Scriptures had said. The Bible says, for example, in John chapter 5 and verse 46, Jesus said, for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Luke 24, 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them the Scriptures concerning himself. It was very important that Jesus could link the writings of Moses and the prophets concerning the coming King and Messiah, the one who would come of the house and lineage of David, in order that they would understand he was the fulfillment of the prophecies that had been given. Well, Nathanael was very cautious at first concerning the scriptural teaching and Christ's relationship to those scriptures. But not only that, as we look at Nathanael, Nathanael was calloused regarding Nazareth. He didn't think that any good thing could come out of Nazareth. In fact, he said that in verse 46. Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? In other words, in his mind, if something was going to be valid in the religious sense, then that one would have to come from Jerusalem. That was the logic of the day. And you'll notice on the map, those that came from Nazareth were not expected to be prophets with great intuition or understanding. In fact, there was a saying in this particular day, if you want to be rich, go to Nazareth. But if you want wisdom, go to Jerusalem. And you see, from his paradigm, from his perception, no prophet would come from Nazareth. Now, we know that Christ was raised there and that he came from there after his preparation time and so forth. But you see, there was a prejudice. There was a concept about Nazareth that was holding Nathanael from really putting his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, people even today think in certain ways about different parts of the country or different parts of the world. In fact, how many of you have relatives maybe back east or in the Midwest or the Southeast, and they think everyone in California is a weirdo? Sometimes I go preach in these conferences, Bible conferences in the Southeast or the Midwest, and pastors will come to me, and they're kind of forlorn in their look, and they'll say, Brother Chapel, boy, we sure feel sorry for you. And we know everyone out there, you know, it's kind of the land of the fruits and the nuts, you know. They say this. They say, do you have a lot of deacons with orange hair and earrings? A lot of your ushers like that too? I say, well, some of our pastoral staff are that. No, I don't say that. But they kind of have this idea that nothing good can come from California. And that's how the view was back in the day of the first century. Nathanael didn't think anything good could come from Nazareth, and he just said it that way. Now at that juncture, Philip could have tried to argue with Nathanael, and he could have tried to point out how other prophets came from unlikely places. But instead of doing that, I want you to see what Philip did in verse 46. Philip saith unto him, come and see. Just three words, come and see. Let's say those together, come and see. You know, rather than getting into an argument, sometimes the best thing you can do when talking to someone about Jesus is just tell them what Jesus has done for you. Or just invite them to come and see what Jesus has done in other people's lives. He just said, come and see. You know, that's the invitation today. Come and see, for no religion has the internal or external evidences that Christianity has. No religion can point to the empty tomb of their resurrected founder. No other religion can point to a Savior who was eternal God, who raised the dead from the grave. No other religion can point to a founder, to a wonderful Savior, such as the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, Philip simply said, come and see. And you'll see what Jesus Christ can do for you. You know, that's what the woman at the well said after she got saved. While she had been living in adultery, she had several failed marriages. But when Jesus Christ saved her soul, the Bible says that she went all around the countryside saying, come and see a man that told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Well, Nathanael must have been curious because the Bible says that Nathanael made his way to see the Lord Jesus Christ. We see Nathanael's outlook. And everyone has an outlook, and everyone has a paradigm. Everyone has an opinion about religion, God, and Jesus Christ. We've seen Nathanael a little bit cautious, a little bit callous towards the Lord Jesus at first. But I want you to notice, secondly, in our story this morning, the Savior's omniscience. The Savior's omniscience. Now, the Bible says in verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Now, the word omniscience is a word we use to describe one of the attributes of Christ's deity. Contrary to the teachings of other groups who would say that Jesus is just another man, we believe that Jesus Christ is the God-man, God in the flesh. And because of his omniscience, we believe that he was God in the flesh. The word ominous from the Latin means all, and the word science speaks of knowledge. We say then, when we say omniscience, God has all knowledge. The Lord Jesus Christ knows everything. Now, we live in the information day. We live in the day when there's all kinds of knowledge and people are always observing everyone. In fact, one New York Times columnist by the name of Thomas Friedman recently talked about the fact that because of technology, everybody can be a paparazzi. Everybody can be around noticing everyone else. In fact, all you have to do is go to Google search, type in your address, and they'll show you pictures of your house from outer space and maybe your car and your dog spot, depending on what day they took the picture. People have all kinds of information today. I mean, you walk around the corner, there might be someone with a phone that has a camera. They might have a camera that has a way to send it to another computer. And Friedman wrote a book entitled How, and he was just talking about the fact that we do not merely live in a glass house, but he said our lives are like a microscope slide and we are visible and exposed to everything. And the premise of his book was, therefore, we better be careful how we live our life because someone is always watching. Now, folks, I got to tell you something. The third graders in our Sunday school have already figured that one out. What a novel thought. Be careful with how you live your life because someone is always watching. Because my friend, if you believe in the God that I believe in, you have known for years and years that we have a God that is all-knowing and He is omnipresent and He sees and knows everything. It doesn't matter if it's 1 o'clock in the morning and your little internet or your little iPhone or whatever you play with or access sin with. I'm telling you, my friend, God sees all, knows all, hears all. He is an all-knowing God. And that's what we see in this story with Nathanael. Notice again verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming. And the word saw there doesn't mean he just saw his visage, but it means that he saw into the man. He understood the heart of this man. And notice that. He knows the heart of man. He perceives, the Lord Jesus does, the heart of man. Now Jesus knew that this man was sincere. Notice again it says, behold an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. And I thank God this morning that Jesus Christ knows who is sincere. In other words, when he says he has no guile, this means that he was spiritually lost, but he was sincere. He was not deceitful. We do not know who is sincere. We think we know sometimes. Sometimes there may be someone who comes to church and maybe they're cynical or maybe they're there because they had to come or there was some persuasion on them. But God looked at Nathanael and said, you know what? This man has no guile. He is sincerely looking for his salvation. He really wants to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus knew he was sincere. And like Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he wanted to understand more about the Lord Jesus and about the claims concerning the Christ. Jesus knew that he was searching for the truth. And so Jesus Christ knew his heart. And my friend, Jesus Christ knows your heart today. He knows whether you have faith in him or not. He knows whether you are sincere or not. He is all-knowing God. But notice, secondly, he knows the location of man. He knows the location. He knows our address, and he doesn't have to use Google Maps either. He knows the address of every man. Verse 48, he says, Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? How did you know me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael was surprised by the knowledge of Christ. And Jesus said, look it, I saw you over there under the fig tree before Philip ever called you. And I thank God for his love and his condescension, for the fact that he knows all of us and he sees us where we are. And by the way, he sees us in our sin, and yet he still loves us. The Bible says that God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And God saw Nathanael under that tree and in his contemplation and in his sinful state. And God knew him, and he knew his need. And I want you to know that God knows you today. He knows where you sit spiritually. He knows what's on your mind. He knows what you're thinking about today. In Psalm 139 in verse 1, the psalmist said, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest me my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The scriptures go on and on describing the fact that our God is an all-knowing God. I want to tell you something. It sure got Nathanael's attention. I mean, imagine if the Lord met you in the parking lot today and he said, hey, could I have a word with you? I noticed when you drove into church today that you were having an angry thought about the guy that drove in front of you. And I noticed last Sunday when you were in church, you were thinking about the pastor's preaching too long. And I noticed also that you were thinking about your wife, that you wish she didn't nag you to go to church. And I mean, what if the Lord met you and said, I've been noticing some of these thoughts you've been having. I think you might be like Nathanael. You might say what Nathanael said, whence knowest thou me? How do you know what I'm talking about? And you know what his answer would be? Because I am God and I know everything, you see. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. He knows. And so we see Nathanael's outlook. He's kind of got a calloused heart about this, and yet in another way, a curious heart. And he comes to the all-knowing one. And that leads us finally to what happened in Nathanael's life. And I want you to notice the sinner's opportunity. You see, even though Nathanael's a good guy and without guile, and even though he's seeking the truth, Nathanael's, like all of us, still a sinner. The Bible says this very clearly in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't know if you've stopped to ponder it today, but this old world has one rudimentary problem, and that problem is sin. And the fact of the matter is that at the root of many problems we're facing today is some form of sin. And yet, while we're experts at pointing out other people's sins, like our husbands, our wives, our children's, our elected officials, how many of you are willing to admit today, I know that I am a sinner as well. I was born with a sin nature. The Bible teaches that in Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And Nathanael is just another guy who has a sin problem. And only Jesus Christ can cure that and cover that by his blood. Now, the sinner's opportunity then is very simply stated. Letter A, we have the opportunity to profess our faith in Jesus Christ. To profess our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice in verse 49 what happens. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. In other words, as soon as he realized that Jesus knew his heart, he said, all right, this is who Philip said it was. He said, you are the Son of God. And no one is saved until they come to that place in their life where they realize, yes, I'm a sinner, But Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is the Son of God. And we profess our faith in Him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Philip had turned to Christ. And now Nathanael has turned to Christ and is professing his faith in Jesus Christ. Again, he's not just following Him for the moment like some of the disciples and like some religious people. But he is expressing a faith concerning the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Now, there are 1 billion Muslims in the world today, and they follow with great zealousness the Quran, which teaches that God had no son. But for those dear people to have a relationship with the Lord, they then must turn from the concept that God had no son to the conviction that he did indeed have a son, and his name is Jesus Christ. And the fact of the matter is that Nathanael was a sinner without a Savior. But on this day, he turned to Jesus Christ and said, I believe that you are the Son of God. Now, this is exactly what Thomas said about Jesus. In your notes there in John 20, 28, Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Would you say those words with me this morning? My Lord and my God. Now, there are many cults, even American-born cults, who teach that Jesus Christ is not God. The Jehovah Witness go from door to door and selling materials printed in New York City at the Watchtower Printing Press, teaching that Jesus Christ is not God. But Thomas had it right when he said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus didn't say, Thomas, don't call me God, for Jesus Christ was fully man and fully God. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, as the God-man and the Savior of the world. And Nathanael understood that when he said, you are the Son of God. You are the King of the Jews. And it's a wonderful day in your life when you realize you can't get yourself to heaven, but the God-man, Jesus Christ, came down to this earth so that we might have everlasting life. I read a USA Today article some time ago about the World Trade Center and how the World Trade Center bombings on September 11, 2001 had claimed so many lives. And in this particular article, they interviewed 300 survivors and family members of survivors, and they asked them specific questions about the seconds following the first plane crash. And they said, tell us exactly what you did. Those 300 survivors said the moment they heard the crackling of a sound that was unusual to them, that was frightening to them, that was out of the ordinary to them, they immediately went to the doors and immediately fled for the streets. They said others were curious about what had happened and went to their desk and made a phone call, and others tried to go to different floors to see what had happened, and certainly others had gone with heroic efforts of rescue. But those 300 survivors that were interviewed had something in common. The moment that they heard the noise, the moment that they heard the sound, they went to escape and they found their salvation. And I have found in my life and in my ministry preaching these 25 years that when a man or woman hears the gospel message of Jesus Christ, they would be very wise when they understand that we're all sinners who fall short and that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died for our sin. We would be very wise when we understand those truths at that moment to receive Christ as our Savior. The longer you delay and analyze and contemplate, and I'm not against your study and ask any question you want, but when it becomes a game and when your heart becomes filled with guile and when you find yourself deliberating and deliberating because of your own self-professed wisdom, you may find, my friend, that you have waited too long. And Nathanael, the moment it clicked in his heart and mind, he said, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He professed his faith in Jesus. He believed that Jesus was Israel's Messiah. Oh, what a tremendous blessing. This man went from bias to belief. He went from unbelief to faith. Oh, this is exactly what all of us must do. And I call to your attention 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10. And it cannot be any clearer than it is in this passage. Notice, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Look right here. Someone says, I don't know if I have eternal life. The record says you can know. The record says you can know that you have eternal life. Don't leave this place wondering, whether or not you have it. The record says you can know. 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Hey, Nathaniel, you've got a big decision to make. I mean, you can stand around scratching your head and saying, I don't think it's possible because nothing good comes out of Nazareth. I mean, you can say that all day, or you can believe that Jesus Christ is exactly who he says he is, the Son of God, the Messiah come to bring your salvation. And he that believeth on the name of the Son of God hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not has not everlasting life. Oh, listen, there's going to be a lot of good people who are not in heaven, a lot of religious people, because they believed in all kinds of religions and all kinds of concepts, but they failed to put their complete trust in Jesus Christ. And oh, friend, today someone says, well, that's a very narrow message. It's about as narrow as that book right there. I know it's not popular in this day. I know we're living in a day of pluralism and coming socialism perhaps, but I tend to stay and I choose to stay with the old-fashioned teaching of the Word of God that made this nation great and that saves souls today. And the message of the Word of God simply says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And if you've never believed on the name of the Son of God, then choose to do that today and by faith be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the sinner's opportunity is to profess faith in Christ. And secondly, the sinner's opportunity is to possess eternal life. What a great opportunity to possess eternal life. Now notice what the Bible says in verse 50. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree. Believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. He says, Nathanael, I'm glad that you believed when you sensed my omniscience, but there's greater things that are going to take place. Verse 51, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, Nathanael's understanding of Christ's deity caused him to believe. And what a wonderful, wonderful miracle Nathanael had understood. And there would be many other miracles, 37 miracles performed by Jesus Christ in his Canaan ministry. And each of these would help men to understand. But Jesus said, hey, I'm going to tell you the greatest miracle is that the heavens will open and that people will have access into heaven by way of the Son of Man. This is the first time we read the term Son of Man in the New Testament. It is a term associated with the sufferings of Jesus Christ. And it was used at those times when Jesus was describing his substitutionary ministry. And here we see Jesus says, you will see the heavens open, and by way of the Son of Man, there will be access into heaven. John 14 and verse 6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except by me. And that's what Jesus is saying. Nathanael, I want to let you know that there will be people who have access into heaven. The angelic beings, he says, will see the heavens open and will have access into heaven. Now, my friend, please hear me as we close this morning. The church does not give you access into heaven. And religion does not give you access into heaven. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in new time. The mediator, the go-between, the one who has given access to heaven is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, if you've put your faith in him, then you've put your faith. You have put your trust in the one who's conquered death and the grave. And to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, we'll have the memorial service for Dr. James Rushing. And his dear wife and family will be here, and we'll have opportunity to remember his life and ministry as a preacher, pastor, and evangelist. But the greatest news we'll share tomorrow morning is the fact that he is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because as an Alabama lineman years ago, as a young man like Nathanael, he came into the understanding of Jesus and the claims of Jesus and the salvation of Jesus, and he chose to put his faith in Jesus Christ, and because of that, he is safe in the arms of God today. Oh, friend, if you've never made that decision, that is the single most important decision you will ever make. You see, the Lord knows what you're thinking right now, and the Lord knows where you're sitting right now. He knows what philosophy and thoughts and concepts permeate your mind, but he also knows that he came to this earth in order that you might hear of the old rugged cross, the shed blood, and the resurrection. And my friend, if you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ and His salvation for your soul, then I encourage you to do that today. And make no delay. Don't ponder. Don't try to see what other religions are doing. But trust the One who has given His life and has resurrected the third day just for you. Let's pray together, Father.
Thank you again for taking time to join us for today's podcast. I trust your heart has been encouraged and challenged from the Word of God. If you have further questions about the Word of God or today's lesson, feel free to contact me at lancasterbaptist.org. Also, if you're not already receiving our daily devotional,